it. There is something out there. By God, I know there is something out there. You know, it's taken me 125 years to convince myself that there isn't anything out there, but I know there is something out there. It's out there. I don't know how to say it. It's out there. And you know it's out there. In the dark. In fact, it's part of the dark, I think. It's behind the raincoats. Behind the old galoshes and tennis shoes. In the corner. In the corner. In the corner of the closet. Where it smells funny. In the basement. Out there in the dark, there is something with things. I don't know what it is. What it is, it's like 10 million years man has suspected that just beyond the place where he can see there is something waiting with spines. And you look down into the dark water when you're floating on a lake, and it gets darker and darker and darker as you look down until finally you see just the tips of the seaweed and the kelp waving. And down between those long waving green fingers there is that thing, almost. You can almost see it. I had this friend who gave up skin diving because of that. She did see it. Just beyond the edge where the big rock stopped. Just on the other side where the wreck was. Something, thing, it moved. Let me tell you, you never saw so much oxygen suddenly squirted into the water in your life. She popped 14 feet in the air. Getting out of that water. It's everywhere, it's everywhere. And you know, the thing about it is that the kids know it's there. That's why they yell. The grown-up later on figures that if he doesn't yell, it won't be there. If he doesn't concede it's there, it won't be there. And all the while, he can hear claws scratching. Yeah, you walk along through those dark alleys. What do you think is there? It's just the dark. I don't know what it is. I'll tell you the time. Did I tell you the time I went into the bush in Nigeria? Now there's name place dropping. If you ever heard of it, you drop. You tell me about Paris. I'll tell you about Ibadan. Yeah, it's true. And you know, it's a funny thing. I'm in this car, this Land Rover. It's a thing. It goes over the bush and knocks down the trees and runs over the natives and everything, gets where you want to go, and it's in the bush. Now the bush is an editorial word. The bush is 140 feet tall. The bush is there, and it's like they're so close together there, well, you can't penetrate them. Well, the guy says, "There's the bush." I wanted to go to the bush. I says, "That's the bush," and it was hanging over me like a Gothic temple. Fantastic. I says, "Okay." He says, "Well, you go on in the bush. You'll be back if you're lucky. You'll not lose your guts." He says, "You just go on in the bush. I'll wait here." And he turned the radio on. Can you imagine the radio in the bush in the middle of this thing, this Land Rover, and I'm heading into the bush? So I head into the bush. Let me tell you, when you get into the bush, the instant you're in the bush, you are in the bush. There is no going back. It's not gradual. You go, you're in it. It's like a cork going into a bottle. You're either in or you're out, you know, you pow. And it's black in there. And you can see these vines hanging. You hear things go, wah, wah. Now, these things don't really do it that friendly-like. Now, it sounds friendly the way I do it, but I can't quite get what they're doing because I got to have the blackness over you. And then the things crawling around on the ground that you can't see either. And they're not even crawling. They're just laying there, but they're crawling. They go, and there's this heat hanging on you, and you are in the bush. Well, for about the first 30 seconds, I'm looking at the things crawling. You know, they look like lizards and stuff. And up in the tree is a thing, ah! And once in a while, a little thing swings past, and you can see the things growing. And there's orchids or something, some fantastic kind of man-eating flower that quietly breathes and spits in the darkness. You can hear it once in a while chewing, salivating. Yeah, the whole world is salivating. Well, you're standing in there for a couple of minutes, and you start moving in, and you see the ants, and it's getting darker and darker. And then you begin to realize it isn't any of the things you can see at all that's got you bugged. You have come to the home ground of wherever it is. It is there. It is laying there. Yeah, going, going. It's laying right there flat out, breathing and hissing and snorting. And there ain't nobody ever going to bring this back to the Central Park Zoo. Let me tell you that, Dad. There ain't nobody going to have this thing stuffed to hang up there in the dining room. Oh, going, 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 going. And it's that thing, that it out there, that has caused 87 billion tom-toms to be beaten since the very beginnings of time. Guys lighting fires in the darkness. Peasants building enormous cathedrals that reach to the sky with stained glass and with organs blowing. Going, 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 going. Always, always feeling out there beyond the edge of that liana. Going, 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 yeah. It's out there, my God. It's out there just on the other side of Staten Island. Just out there, you drive along the Jersey Turnpike at 2 o'clock in the morning between Howard Johnson's. You can see it in the bushes. Right out there, back of that big dump. You can see it. You can hear it squawking and burping. Crunching its claws against the rocks. Going, 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 going. Oh, yeah, it's out there. And you look down that air shaft. You're 14 stories up, and you look down there, and the garbage goes sailing past, and the beer cans, where? It goes down into the abyss. And there it is, down there in the darkness, eating all those old shoes and stuff. Going, going, yeah. Going, 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 going. Oh, beat that tom-tom, man. Get it out of here. Ward off them evil spirits. You gotta be careful, the converts are the worst of all. Going, 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 going. Ah, it's out there in the darkness. And your transistor radio ain't gonna stop it from coming. Oh, Channel 5 isn't going to do it for you. Oh, no. Going, 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 going. No, thinking clean thoughts doesn't do it either. You can hear the scales squeaking. Going, 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 going. You can hear those claws. You hear it? Oh, it's out there, all right. Yeah, why are you all suddenly sitting up hollering? What's he doing? You know why you're saying that? Because of... No, 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 Eddie. No. That's right. I'll tell you why you're saying it. I don't have to. You know why. It's ridiculous, and you know it. Going, 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 going. You know, it's there's no question. All you have to have is an excuse, you see. You'd be surprised how quickly we revert to this fantastic medieval bat flying through the nave of an ancient Gothic cathedral. Come on, bring that thing up there. Yeah, the long, dark nights in the attic. Doing, 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 doing. Chickened out. They all do in the end. Everybody does in the end. Everybody, really, everybody chickens out in the end. It depends on how you define chickening. But every guy secretly knows that he does. I'll tell you that. Even though the world doesn't detect it. Even though the world... Going, 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 going. Stop it. Help. No. See, you don't know which... Isn't it important itself to know that you feel somehow safer when that guy's beating that tom-tom? Yeah, it feels better, doesn't it? It's the silence that does it. Or at least it's part of it. Bring that over, please, please. What he's saying, he's hollering into the darkness, oh, don't you come near, don't, help, stay away. And he's saying that for all of us. All it takes is one little spark, right, John? You know this. because the gaffe is always out there, the big hook. Now, how do you think a largemouth bass feels, for example, quietly moving through his world, and then suddenly he sees this bassarino ahead of him. It's going along. It's painted red and white. Now, this looks like no bug he's ever seen. It's red and white. It's got four propellers on it. It's going through the woods. Why do you think he bats that thing? Because he's hungry? Because he likes propellers? Because he has a taste for a piece of a wooden thing with a red head? No, oh no. Because it looks like it is it. Pow! He hits it. And the next thing you know, 45 feet, he goes up through the water. Clonk! Bang! They hit him on the back of the head. 25 minutes later, it's in the hot pot. It's right there. He's dead. Gone. Forever. Forever. Dying, 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 dying. And he secretly knows it. Gives up. Speaking of fish of one kind or another, this is WORAM at FM New York. And we'll be here until the scores come back. Oh, there are millions of ways we keep ourselves going pretending that it's not happening. Like we all go sit on our things in musicals. And all the while, this chick is singing, I love you, na da da, rig-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-ting, and Richard Rodgers is singing us to sleep, and we feel for that 2.5 hours that ain't happening. Or, on the other hand, we go to see a hard-bitten, angry play by a hard-bitten, angry young playwright. He's putting it all down, rotten, 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 rotten. And for 2.5 hours, we're keeping it away. 2.5 hours, we're keeping it away. To the tune of the Pulitzer Prize. Doing, 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 doing. And we award the prizes in direct ratio to the amount of success the man has had in convincing us that it ain't happening. Doing, 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 doing. Cut it out. Whew. Scary. Speaking of the scary things, we have with us a couple of sponsors. One of them, the Paper Book Gallery. And I'll tell you this. For one thing, the Paper Book Gallery, among other things, is undoubtedly the most disheveled paper book store in the Western Hemisphere. It is absolutely a shambles. A messy animal is never as dangerous as a sleek one to us. That's true. A furry one. We like to talk about a little furry animal. A furry animal. That's why people love bears. They're furry, they're messy animals, but let me tell you, the biggest, toughest bear anywhere in the world, the biggest, toughest carnivore, you know, in the world, are you aware of it? Is a bear, the Kodiak. Yes, indeed, this Kodiak with oil. Do you know that a Kodiak bear grows to the height of roughly 10 feet when he's standing up on his hind legs, ready to belt? There is nothing in the world that will get near a Kodiak bear. Even including other Kodiak bears. They are scared to death of each other. That's true. A Kodiak bear can decapitate a lion if ever put to the test with one swipe. Just pow. Fantastic. Yeah, that's true. That's the Kodiak bear. They're very rare, too, by the way. For obvious reasons. They hate each other. It's a biological problem. I think that's just very interesting. But and there's a lesson in it to all of us, I'll tell you. Have you noticed, by the way, that speaking of the Kodiak bear, have you noticed one of the new conventions of the theater? That every new play has a scene in which a swinging girl, a very beautiful swinging chick, is attempting to seduce a sensitive young man unsuccessfully. It used to be the other way around. I wonder what happened there. I think we're going to go the way of the Kodiak bear if we don't watch out. If our playwrights have anything to do with it. But nevertheless, you know, the Kodiak bear represents an interesting study in fear. A real killer. Probably the worst killer, though, as far as bear. And yet we somehow, when a Kodiak bear is put in the zoo, he becomes very popular. Nobody stands outside the Kodiak bear's den and says, boy, wowie. Oh, boy. No, they will stand outside a tiger's den or let's say a lion. And they'll say, wowie, look at that lion. Scared to death. And the lion will never attack unprovoked. A Kodiak bear has been known to trail a guy all the way to Pittsburgh from wherever Kodiak bears live, and it's a long way from home, just because he was bugged, that's all. Do you know that that lovely, fluffy, white, beautiful polar bear is the only creature that they know of, literally, that has been known to actually shadow a hunter? And he doesn't know he's a hunter. It's just something moving. He goes. That's all. And he is fantastic. To give you an idea of how anything that's disorganized, we somehow trust, even if it's got fangs 4.5 feet long. As long as he's got little furry things and crinkly things around his eyes, that's okay. We like that. One of the big stories that came out like that in the last 20... Yeah, seriously. Do you remember the story that happened in the early 50s? A bunch of people had a party, debutantes, about three debs and a couple of guys, you know, they had a big party in Washington, and they went to the Washington Zoo at night. Ed, it was late, about 2 o'clock in the morning, they got in there. And all these animals were quietly sitting in their cages, looking out into the darkness. And which one do you think that this chick took to chuck under the chin? The lion? She wouldn't go near the lion. The tiger? She wouldn't go 5, 15, 20 feet from the tiger. Oh! She instinctively picked the worst one of all. A large Greenland white polar bear sitting there all cute and crinkly-eyed and such a beautiful white color and kind of furry. And she walks up to the cage, sticks her arm in and says, kee, 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 pow! No arm. Just like that, at 2 o'clock in the morning, off at the shoulder. And all crinkly-eyed and sparkly and fluffy white, he sort of sat back in his hands and says, anybody else for fun? Huh? Doing, 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 doing. Oh, it's out there, all right. But we never recognize it, you see, when we see it. Because it's always furry, friendly, cuddlesome, kind of, all the while. But then the thing begins to grow. You see, all you have to do is just give one little... I'll show you now. You turn up your radio, see? Just turn up your radio for a second. Just turn it up now. All right, now, Eddie. Turn it up. Gain. Do you hear that? Somehow that's it. Or at least that's it breathing. Hear it? You need, you see, is just a little excuse, and you begin to hear the claws scratching behind you. Just a little excuse, that's all. In short, you need what they say in the theater, you need a cue. That's all. But you know your lines, you see. The lines, of course, are already written. It's there. Oh, we got another commercial here. You know, it's very difficult to do a commercial for a very old friend. And I mean literally. If the truth were out, I will tell you, I have to be honest with you, that some of the best years of my youth were misspent in the limelight. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. And after all these years, they are now on the program, and it's very difficult to tell you about it because it's a very private, strange place. But if you... The limelight is kind of like, I don't know how to describe it. It's a big place on Lower 7th Avenue. It probably is more typically the Village than any other place that I know of in the Village. Wouldn't you say that? Typically the Village. It is typically that. And I don't mean that in any other way than that. But the thing about the Village is it's a strange thing, but it's very private, and I don't know how much to talk about it, except that if you haven't been in the limelight. It's a coffee shop. They have a little bar. It's a place to eat, but it's none of those places. It's not a restaurant. It's not a bar. It's not a coffee shop. It's the limelight, you know? It's a very peculiar place. It's a place where you sit, like, for 7 hours and be bugged. It's a great place for that. And it's on 7th Avenue South at Sheridan Square, right in the heart of the village. And that's the Christopher Street Station on the IRT. But it's at 91 7th Avenue, and I can't... The time that it happens in the limelight is usually after 8:30 when the tourists go to the theater. Seriously. When the tourists clear out, that's when to go for dinner and stuff. And after midnight, when stuff begins to happen. And I will be... I'm usually there after midnight myself. That's when I go down. It's just a strange place. Beautiful, wonderful place. And the people who are there are just... It's it. It's everything you see there. Now, I don't know how to tell you any more than that. When I say I misspent my youth there, I mean it. Oh, boy. Oh, when I think. It's terrible. I know it's sad. It's all right. I don't let him worry. I'm not worried about it. It's the Limelight, 7th Avenue South. And they're open 7 days a week, and you got a great meal there for $1.50, $1.80, and the most fantastic hamburger in town. It's a sensitive hamburger, which is very different from most other hamburgers. It's a village, you know. And it's truthful, you know, the hamburger there. It just states it, honestly. It doesn't pretend it's anything but pure rubber. But it's difficult. That's the limelight. You got it, huh? Okay. And while we're on the subject, I guess the reason that I was reminded of this thing that's out there is that it's always evident that the fear of the outside, the thing, whatever the thing is much more poignant and more operative during great transitional periods in the seasonal sense. People get awful scared in the fall. They get awful scared in the spring. You know that there are more suicides in April than any other month? Are you aware of that? It is the number one month for suicides. Yes. Why? Do you know what month is second? You'd be surprised what month is second. October is the second month for suicides. Both beautiful months. Now, there are a lot of reasons. Yes, this is true. I'm not making it up, so it's all right. Well, I don't look to them and say, is that true? It is true. Now, both the reasons these things happen are very, very, very subtle and not totally explained, and no one can totally explain it, ever, because no one can totally explain fear. All right, I'll give you an example of this strange kind of thing that's floating around out there. Somebody sent me a clipping from a California newspaper. This just happened a couple of days ago. And it's a beautifully written example of a kind of reportage that is rare. When the noise started, it was almost inaudible. But everyone on the block in southeast Houston apparently heard it. And though the volume stayed low, it became almost impossible to shut the noise out. And then, 12 hours later, the noise stopped abruptly. Just as mysteriously as it began. The residents in the 6800 block of Beechwood are still talking about what they call the noise. Loss to explain where the continuous humming, whining, they describe it 1,000 different ways. The continuous humming, whining came from, but they haven't gotten any help at all from anywhere else in tracing the cause. Listen to this. It started about 4 p.m. Friday, said Frank Weiss, an electronics technician. His wife first woke him up from a nap and asked him what the sound was. The electric power and the water in the homes were turned off, The telephone company checked its equipment in the area. Everyone turned everything off. But still, the sound continued on and on, and no one knew where it was coming from. Out of the air itself. Residents unplugged their refrigerators, their clocks, and other electrical appliances. Nothing stopped the noise. It came out of the air. It was kind of high-pitched, like a siren, something like, off in the distance, said Mr. J.P. Welch of Beechwood. All I can tell you, it was real nerve-wracking, and, well, I guess I won't forget it. Like Mrs. Welch, Mrs. W.H. Fraser unplugged her refrigerator and her electric clocks and her television set and everything in the house to see what was causing the incessant whining sound. It was kind of eerie, is all she could say about it. It didn't sound like a water leak or a high-tension electric wire that hums. I don't know what it was. It was just in the air. Another woman accidentally scared her three daughters by telling them jokingly that they might wake up and have little green men here or something. The electronics technician tried to get a picture of the sound waves by using an oscilloscope at his home, but apparently the microphone he used was not sensitive enough to pick up the sound. Only your ears could hear it. Weiss said, and we're quoting an electronics engineer, "The sound was real intense in small rooms with close walls. Oddly enough, the sound was barely audible outside the homes and did not seem to come from any direction at all. It was just hanging in the air there." Naturally, some of the residents theorized that the noise may have come from the spacecraft center or from some electrical equipment that was being tested. But the owner of an electronics firm and an electronics engineer himself disagreed with them. He could not explain where it came from. "It did not sound at all like a noise of an electronic nature," he said after listening to it for an hour and a half. The Southeast residents don't care for theories. They're glad that the noise was gone. Until they woke Saturday morning, when suddenly for exactly 30 minutes, and then it went off. As one resident put it, "It just shut off. It hasn't come back again." And it just made the scene. Now, why were they afraid of a sound? That's the important question, not what was the sound. You see, we all expect an unexpected sound. And when it happens, it's only what we've expected all along, secretly. And then when it happens, we don't want to admit we expected it. And then when it happens, we want to pretend that it didn't happen at all. Somebody's just playing a trick here. And then when it goes off, everyone pretends that it really didn't happen after all, as they will a month from now. Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, there's a funny thing about stories of this nature. I guess the truly funny thing about it is that it reinforces a thing that all of us secretly, without any true explanation, believe. For example, one of the most long-lived stories of all is a thing around St. Joseph, Michigan. Do you know anything about St. Joe, Michigan? This is probably as nothing as you can get in the town. Just sitting there in southern Michigan, waiting. And because of the very nothingness of the town, it is natural that such a thing would grow. When a town itself is frightening, when a town itself looms over you, you become afraid of the town. Manhattanites are secretly afraid of Manhattan in a lot of ways. And so they transfer the secret fear to the building itself, or they're going to tear down the park, or whatever it is that they want to be afraid of. The government. They'll get angry at the government. It's whatever it is. It's so simple. But a guy sitting in St. Joe, Michigan, doesn't have that to rely on, because there's too many lawns and too many snowball bushes. And there's friendly old Ben Parkins, who's the mayor. You can't really get mad at him. He's too real. You can get mad at an abstract Wagner, whom you never see. But how are you going to get mad at old Ben? And so that scratching out there in the darkness, out past Widow Parkins' vacant lot, becomes very real. I will read to you the story that is very prevalent in St. Joe, Michigan. The Phantom Skater of Hickory Creek. Here's the story of the Phantom Skater, who has been seen sporadically, according to the residents of St. Joseph's, Michigan, for over 100 years. This story has been reported in that area. And the latest man to report it is a man who claims he saw it a few years back, and he's been telling the story ever since. Somebody will see him again 5 years from now. The man was skating, and he saw it 5 years back. And he says, "I remember it as though it happened last night." He and some friends were skating after school on Hickory Creek near an old wooden bridge. Because a bright full moon had come out early, there was no deepening twilight to warn them. That's the way it is in the Midwest at night. That's just the way nighttime hits in the wintertime out there. They don't have twilight, you know. Not really, not like we have here. And suddenly there it was dark. And then, from more than a mile downstream, came a strange scraping sound. A steady scrape. Scrape, 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 scrape. They sounded like blades, ice skate blades. But they were louder than ice skate blades, and steadier and faster. Sk, 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 sk. The shouts and the laughter died out among the kids. And everything seemed to stand still. Time stopped. And all they could hear was the sound of scraping blades on the creek bank. Sk, 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 sk. Kids ran up the banks and through knee-deep snow with their skates on, leaving their shoes and their boots behind. And the last to leave was the man telling the story, Harvey Wilbrook. The reason he was the last to leave is that he sprained his ankle and fell, which is an actual fact. He did. He was in the hospital for 3 months afterwards. And he lay there. The big boys, he could see, were jumping barbed wire fences. Little ones were crawling under. But Harvey hung in there with his sprained ankle. The phantom scraping blades grew louder and louder and louder. After each silent glide, he could hear another one start. Until it sounded like he was rushing on with fantastic speed, like an express train. Harvey was twisting on the ground in his sheepskin jacket. And suddenly he saw green sparks flashing from what looked like enormous blades as the Phantom Skater came around the bend. Harvey said he looked at least 18 feet tall. He was wearing black tights and a black skull cap, and he didn't cast any shadow in spite of the fact that the moon was full. As the huge black figure approached the old timber bridge, the Phantom went into a crouch and then picked up speed. Then with an eerie laugh that froze the kid's ears right there, he leaped, hurdled an old log, and continued and came down on and on and on until he disappeared around the next bend. And then there was silence. The phantom skater has been reported in St. Joe, Michigan now, periodically for over 100 years. And every time he's reported, a lot of people laugh, and a lot of people say, well, you never can tell. But everyone feels somehow sneakily, well, I why a phantom skater? Why a sound in the dark? Why 18 feet tall? Because you see, that thing that all of us are afraid of out there, that thing. Doing, 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 doing. Sometimes he ice skates. Sometimes he knocks people's arms off in the dark. Doing, 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 doing. Sometimes he just pow with a bolt of lightning. Doing, 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 doing. Down there in the bottom of the quicksand, reaching. In that dark, long, scraggly blackness where the seaweed reaches into the ground itself. Going, 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 I'm going, 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 yeah. Everywhere you look. That's right. Everywhere you look. Put your hand on that little warm transistor radio. Do you feel that warmth coming out of it? That's love. Yeah, friends, I want you to put your hand on top of that television set. You feel that heat coming up through your knuckle bones. That's love. That's the love, just an electronic television love, just a pouring out at you there. I want you to feel it and know that you're here.